I want you to see, as we continue preaching through this head covering series, we're going to look in verse 7 of chapter 11 for this sermon, The Hidden Glory Covered by Feminists. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for a covering." Dear Father, bless the preaching of Thy Word that You've entrusted to us, and You've preserved that's sufficient to meet our every need. In the name of Jesus, amen. The symbolism has been explained. Man represents God the Father, and therefore His head is the central part of that symbolism. The head is the authority of the body, right? So the head should not be covered with long hair. We've quoted Greek philosophers that used this symbolism of being covered as meaning long hair. And Paul uses the same symbolism here in 1 Corinthians 11. If a man has long hair, it's putting out the symbolism, the symbolic message that God the Father has an authority over him. The head of the man represents God the Father. And does God the Father have an authority over him?
Yes,
no. So a man should not walk around preaching. Would you walk around with your voice and say, God needs to bow to His authority? Would you say that? Would you say God the Father needs to submit to His authority? Would you say that with your voice? No. Would you draw a picture? What if you draw a picture and say the same thing? You say, I'd never do that. When a man has long hair, he is drawing a picture that God the Father is weak and is under submission to another authority. The woman, however, represents what? The man. It says here in verse 7, I didn't invent that. It says in verse 7, the woman is the glory of the man. It says in verse 8, the woman is of the man. It says in verse 9, the woman is for the man. And then it says in verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head. So the woman represents the man. She lives out his authority in the home. Her head, therefore, as the central part of her body, is a symbol of man. And since man is under the authority of Christ, who is said to be the head of all man, her head should be covered with long hair, since that would symbolize man under the authority of Christ. You say her long hair is beautiful, it's glorious. Well, Christ is beautiful and glorious. And when man is submitted under Christ, it's beautiful and glorious. When man is not under the authority of Christ, it's hideous. It's hideous. It's not comely. It's not comely. It's not beautiful. So, her long hair is her God-given covering. It says in verse 15, her hair is given for a covering. It is her glory. And that long hair represents Christ. And I say, leave Christ alone. Leave it alone. Quit messing with it. Quit cutting it off. Teach children from the time they're young that they're female and they're called to have this beautiful covering. This long hair represents Christ, and it's comely, which means beautiful, to have her head covered with long hair. And you know, it's a beautiful thing for man to function according to the purpose for which he was created, to be under the authority of Christ. Did God put Adam in the garden to be his own authority? Oh, he's got his authority over the animals, but he was to be under Christ. In verse 10, Paul says, "For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head." The cause has been mentioned repeatedly. The cause is that the woman represents the man. Since she represents the man, she ought to have power on her head. Her long hair here is called power. Let's raise some little girls with some power. It's called glory. It's called comely. Three beautiful words. Comely, which means beautiful. Glory and power. Long hair. Power. Glory. Comely. Now think about this for a second. Her long hair is a picture of Christ, isn't it? That's clear. If her head represents man, and man's under the authority of Christ, if the head which represents man is covered, that's man under the authority of Christ. So her long hair represents Christ. Her long hair is said to be power, glory, and comely. You know the same things are said about Jesus? Same things are said about Jesus. Look at Revelation chapter 5, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and what? Glory and blessing." The woman's long hair represents Jesus and all of His power and all of His glory and all of His beauty. You say, "I cannot believe that God would have long hair to represent Jesus." Well, the rock represented Jesus. In the Old Testament that followed them around, they got water. That represented Jesus. Why, the bread and the wine represent the blood and body of Jesus. Why can't long hair represent Jesus? I didn't invent the symbol. God did. And God says, "Isn't that gorgeous? Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it comely?" I put it in nature as a picture of Jesus. Man under the authority of Jesus is beautiful. Psalms 29, "Give unto the Lord the what? Glory. Do unto His what? Name." Don't you take the name of the Lord in vain. He will not hold him guiltless who does. "Worship the Lord in the what? Beauty of His holiness." Is the Lord beautiful? Oh yes, He is. Psalms 90, verse 17, "Let the what? Beauty of the Lord our God be what? Upon us." That means let His holiness come upon you. But you know, in this prophetic picture, "Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us." Every woman ought to say that. "Let the symbolic beauty of the Lord be upon me, that I might in my radiant feminine beauty picture something about the Lord." That's why women are beautiful. That's why women are to walk in the beauty, that natural God-given beauty that the Lord has for them. They're to walk in that beauty because they picture something about the Lord. The Lord created everything to picture something about Him. You understand that? When it's in its place and it's doing what's right, it's to picture something about God. It's to reflect something about Him. So the physical beauty of a woman's long hair represents the beauty of the Lord. And in its feminine beauty, its power. Does feminine beauty have power? Oh, you better believe it. It's so powerful that it can be abused and used in the wrong way. But in its right place, it has a calming effect. It has a restraining effect. Just the way the beauty of nature and country living can promote wholesome qualities. Oh, by itself alone, you can move out in the country and sin just like anywhere else. But there is something about a rural, natural kind of life that promotes wholesome, godly thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the cities are already corrupt, you still find good people out there. Sure, they're not far behind them in some ways, as TV saturates the land. But you do have something about nature and flowers and animals and trees and fresh air and beautiful sky that does something to a man. It's just got a restraining effect upon him. There's something about women that haven't cut their hair all off, walking around in blue jeans, looking like they, trying to be a man. There's something about a woman dress like a woman, acting like a woman, looking like a woman, that just has a calming, restraining effect upon men. And we've seen it's not only power in its beauty, but it's also a symbol of power. It's both of them. You say this long hair is called a power. Do you think it's a power in itself, or is it a symbol of power? It's both. Paul says it's a power. He says it's comely. He says if she prays with her hair all cut off, is that comely? Is that beautiful? There's power in beauty. It needs to be in the right place and used to glorify God, but there's power in beauty. But it's not only power in itself, it's a symbol of power. It's a symbol of the authority of Christ. And I tell you, when a man's submitted to the authority of Christ, he's powerful in himself. You know that? You'll never have more power than when you are submitted to Christ, absolutely and wholly. A woman ought to have power on her head because she represents man. You know, we ought to have power of God in our life. Amen? We ought to walk around with Jesus on us. Amen? Instead of all this other stuff of the world, mankind ought to walk around with Jesus on him. You ought to walk around with the power of God on your life manifested. But we have that power of prayer when we do those things that are what? Pleasing in His sight. When you're submitted to His authority, you have the power of the Lord upon you. Women ought to represent the power of the Lord. They ought to walk around with that long, beautiful hair, and people ought to just sit there with their mouths open and says, "Wow, the women here are beautiful." And you ought to say, "Well, that's a picture of man submitted under the authority of Christ." That's what that is. That raw beauty, that beauty in itself is a picture of the power of Christ upon man. Now, we should not make too much of a symbol. Can you make too much of a symbol? See, on one side, there are those like the Mennonites that say, that is a glory of the woman, and it needs to be covered because it's her glory. So they have an idea that all glory must be covered. But let me ask a few questions. The Bible says the glory of young men is their strength. Should that be covered? Do you know a young man's strength, when used for the Lord in the right place, is glorious? And it's right and it's proper? Young people, you don't need to grow up using your youth, using your energy, using the freshness of your mind to serve sin. That's using your strength for the wrong purpose. Praise God for these soul winners, Orlando, that are bringing forth fruit every single week. Praise God for their energy. You ought to use the strength of your youth for Jesus. And don't think soul winning is just for young people. But here's what I want you to realize. The glory of young men is their strength. Now you follow me here. We have a culture here today that wants to turn strong young men. You know what I want to do in Kingdom Baptist Church? Raise strong, bold young men. Oh, I want to raise strong, bold, young men. I want to send out some arrows that are a defense. I want to send out some soldiers for Christ. Amen. That are able to overcome this culture. Able to withstand its pressures. And not just sit back and resist, but actually be an influence for good. That can walk into a community and see a whole bunch of boys that want to serve the devil, and they could stand up and lead the way and convert all them boys and influence them in such a way that they want to be like him. Amen. Not some weak little weasel of boys that have to follow peer pressure so they can fit in with a whole bunch of people that are serving the devil. You want to raise a bunch of weak, effeminate boys? I don't want to raise weak, effeminate boys. I want to raise strong men of God. But I have a culture today out here in this world that wants to take these boys and turn them into effeminate young men. Make little sissies out of them. Little shy, withdrawn, covered over little beetles. Is that what you want? No, I don't want my son to grow up a little beetle. See? Hair hanging down all over, covering up his face, hanging behind his veins, withdrawn, doesn't want to see anybody, sits over here in the shadows. It's one thing not to be somebody that likes attention and that type of thing. We got different kind of personalities. But one thing I don't want people to do is flee when nobody pursues. I don't want to raise a weakling for a boy. I don't want to raise some sissy, effeminate little boy that's afraid to get things done for Jesus, afraid to stand up and be a leader for Jesus. You understand? But that's what the feminists want to raise. Because the feminists say, you know what's wrong with society? Men are preying upon women. And they say, we know how we can fix it. Now, the feminist grandmothers, they were wrong about a lot of things, but they said that you need to keep your feminine beauty because it has a restraining influence upon the men. But the feminists of the later generation said, nah, we'll get rid of our hair, we'll get rid of the way we dress, we'll get rid of that sweet feminine way of acting, and we'll just be rough and crude and smart aleck and all of that stuff, and we'll dress like we're tough, and we'll just go ahead. But now they got a problem. There's no restraining influence upon the men. So, they get in their little laboratory together and they sit back and they think, well, what are we going to do? And they say, I know what we'll do. There's something wrong with the boys. It must be the patriarchal society that's left in them from earlier generations. And if we raise them the right way, they'll grow up sweet. So we want our women, our girls to grow up and be assertive and conquerors and overcome and have that competition drive and all of that. But we want these boys to just sit over here and be passive and have no drive. Somehow or another. So you've got music, you've got Hollywood, you've got all of these influences that give boys role models to turn them into effeminate sissies. You don't believe me? Look at the back of some of the CDs. Tell me if you want your boy growing up looking like that. Tell me if that looks like somebody that's going to protect sisters from people that come over and want to hurt them. Look at the back of that. It's just insane. That's what you want for a boy? That's what they want for your boys. So putting all this together, if it says the glory of young man is their strength, the devil says, let's hide that glory and turn the young men into effeminate sissies. I say, let the glory shine. Let the glory shine. Let these boys walk in the fullness of all their God-given glory. But just let them use their strength for God. Amen? Let them use that strength for God and do what they're supposed to do with it. Boy says, I'm tired. I don't want to finish. Boy, you're a young man. You're supposed to be strong. Get out there and get it done. We're not raising wimps around here. We're not raising quitters. Thumb-sucking quitters. Amen? Is that what you want? Bunch of little whiners? Well, just as Satan wants to cover the glory of the young man, which is his strength, he also wants to cover feminine beauty. He hates man walking in the strength that God has given them. So, he replaces the men's strength with a form of femininity, but it doesn't look good on the man, see? It looks perverted. And then he takes the woman and he says, let's see, I can't invent anything, but I can scramble it all up. So what we'll do is, I want you to walk in masculine strength and look like a man. So now she doesn't have her beautiful glory. And the boy doesn't have his glory. So they want the boys to walk around with skirts and long hair and earrings all over them. That's what they want. And to be all shy and speak with just a quiet voice. It's just wrong, folks. It's just wrong. things that picture Christ should not be covered up. That strength of that young man, that pictures God the Father in all His strength. It shouldn't be covered up. That long hair picturing Christ, it shouldn't be covered up in the way the feminists want to cover it up. But although we should not cover up certain glories that represent Christ, that does not mean there's not a danger of making too much of a symbol. That bread pictures Christ. We just had the Lord's Supper, and the bread is a picture of Christ. But should we worship the picture? Should we worship the bread? No. If we say the long hair represents Christ, should we worship it? Of course not. If anybody says, well, they worship long hair around there, you're a liar. I don't worship long hair. We respect it for the place that God has given it and for the beautiful picture that it is, just like the Lord's Supper. We don't worship that bread, but we want to honor the symbol, not bowing down to it. We want to respect the ordinance and all that it represents. But you can worship the symbol, just like the Catholic Mass has turned the bread, they think they've turned the bread into the literal body of Jesus. Do you know there was a brass serpent on the pole in the Old Testament? Do you know what that pictured? It pictured Jesus dying for our sins. So, you take one look and you are healed. Isn't that good? You just believe on the Lord and you're saved. That brass serpent on the pole was a picture of Jesus. You know what happened in 2 Kings 18 in the days of Hezekiah? You know what ended up happening? The people, and Hezekiah brought reformation, the people began to worship the brass serpent on the pole. That which was meant to be a picture of Jesus, they began to worship it. You can make too much of a symbol, can't you? Hey, there's some people out there that actually make idols out of their hair. There's certain Pentecostals, and I appreciate some of their beliefs about having their long hair and stuff, but they take it so far that it almost becomes a charm. I have some of their books about it. And they talk about being preserved from car wrecks and certain things because of their long hair. Now, if you want to say that because they're obedient unto God, that they are pleasing the Lord and He's had mercy, that's one thing to argue that way. But when you start treating the hair itself as a type of charm, that's wrong. Well, you say, I don't make an idol out of it, but I am sinfully proud of it. Should you be proud of something? No. Young men, their strength is their glory. And God wants it to be their glory. They should treasure it, be thankful for it, walk in it. But should they become proud of it? No. Should women become proud of their beauty? No. Let me show you what happens when you become proud of the things God has given you. In Isaiah chapter 3, it says, Moreover, the Lord saith, Because the daughters of Zion are humble, no, haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks, well, they have to walk that way because they got them high heels on, and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, they can't take big steps because they got them heels on that are putting their body all out of alignment, making a tinkling with their feet so you look down at their ankles. Well, they ended up a mess, didn't they? And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. There's nothing wrong with sweet smell. I'd appreciate it if you didn't wear all that chemical stuff, you know what I mean, and suffocate us with all your chemicals. But there's some beautiful essential oils that you can make perfume out of, and that's in the Bible, amen? So God says, instead of sweet smell, you're going to have some stink. Instead of a girdle, there's going to be a rent, a tear. And instead of well-set hair, you're going to have what? Baldness. Is there anything wrong with well-set hair? No. But when you take pride in something, and you end up becoming sinfully proud, God says, you're going to end up bald. Which means they're going to be sold for slaves and have their head shaved. So a lot of people read this and they say, you see, long hair can become a source of pride. God said it'll get cut off in judgment. And I say, you're right. That's what happened to our nation. I'm not going to say they just got proud of long hair, but women did get proud of their clothes and proud of their finery and proud of a lot of the feminine things. And Americans got proud in general of everything. They got proud of their prosperity. They got proud of their strength. Everybody said, we don't need God anymore. We have our beauty, we have our strength. And before you know it, in the 1920s, God began to cut off the woman's hair. And you know what that was a picture of? That was man being cut off from Jesus and all His blessings. It says in Jeremiah 7, cut off thy hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places, for the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of His wrath. Early fundamentalists in the 1920s, like D.M. Panton over in the UK, when he saw women beginning to cut their hair off, he said, you know what's happening to us? That's the Lord forsaking this generation. And those fundamentalists in 1920 said it's downhill from here. You see them women cutting off their hair? That's the symbol that we're being rejected by the Lord. And we're going to go from cutting hair to sodomites and homosexuals faster than lightning. It happened, didn't it? You say, well, it's been about 80 years, 100 years, almost 100 years. Hey, that's pretty fast. One generation to go from what things were like before the 1920s to now you read on the news about cannibals and pedophiles and bestiality and all of the things we're dealing with today. That's pretty quick. We got rejected. You understand? We got turned over to a reprobate mind. The nation, the Bible said, every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. And that's happened to America. So the Mennonites say, you see what happens? Long hair can become a source of pride, so you ought to cover it up and hide the glory. Well, I'll answer the Mennonites by simply saying this. Your garment covering can be a source of glory as well. Pride. See, we got to read a little careful here in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 18. He says, in that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cauls. The word caul means a garment that goes over the head. And their round tires. The word tire means a garment that goes over the head. Their chains and bracelets and mufflers. The muffler is a garment that goes over the face or head. Their bonnets. The bonnet is a garment that goes over the head. The ornaments of the legs and the headband. The headband goes on the head. And the tablets and earrings, the glasses and the fine linen. And the hoods. The hood goes on the head. And the veils. The veils go over the head or the face. So God is basically saying that you got cauls and tires and mufflers and bonnets and headbands and hoods and veils. And all of them can become a source of pride for the daughters of Zion. And just because certain garments are worn in a religious manner does not mean they're free from the dangers of pride. Do you know the Pharisees wore their long robes and they were very proud of it? It says in Matthew 23, but all their works they do to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. My point is simply this. The objection that a woman's long hair can be a source of pride can be equally turned around on the Mennonites and others who think a garment covering is free from the danger of pride. But that's not true. There's a lot of people that wear a garment covering as if it's a charm. And there's a lot of them, I'm not judging any individually, but there's some that do wear it as a source of pride like the Pharisees did in their legalism. There's some that are plainly legalistic with it. They say if a woman's not covered with the garment, she's not saved. So what is the answer? The answer is just as long hair may be a source of pride. Hold on a second. There is the opposite danger of despising that which God has created to be a glory. And while you shouldn't be proud of it, you ought to walk in the glory that God has given you. And the devil loves, if he cannot tempt you to make something into an idol, he will tempt you to despise it. Take your body. If he can't tempt you to make an idol out of it, where you take care of your body over your soul, he'll tempt you to despise it. Just dishonor it. Just let the help fall apart. Hey, neither, that's just two forms of Gnosticism. That's the two forms of Gnosticism. Either glory in it to such a degree that it becomes an idol, or just let it fall apart. And what I'm telling you is simply this, that feminist, inspired by the devil, wants to take away the glory of the woman. And instead of cutting off that glory, or covering it up, and I'm not saying it's wrong to cover yourself with a garment, I'm saying it's wrong to cut your hair, or to be ashamed of it, or think you need to hide the glory that God has given a woman to walk in. Whatever is a source of strength or glory to a creature can become a source of pride, like the wings of an eagle. But Satan loves to pervert God's creation. And there is a danger of not walking in the beauty and glory that God has given, especially when the glories represent Christ. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 29 again. The glory of young men is their strength. So what's the devil want to do? He has two choices here. Either get young men to glory in their strength to where it becomes an idol and they don't trust in the Lord anymore, or what's the opposite danger? To not walk in the glory at all. And to be ashamed of their glory. And to think, oh, and you know what? In some ways, that's what some of these groups have become. I don't think they're raising manly boys. I don't like what I see in their men. I don't like what I see. I don't like the way they talk. I don't like the way they act. I don't like how the boys talk and how the boys act. And I'm not saying they can't get a lot of work done. I'm just saying there's something wrong about the spirit. The glory of young men is their strength. I don't believe that glory of young men ought to be hidden. I don't believe it ought to be hidden. But feminists think it ought to be hidden. Let me show you something else. Proverbs 17. Children's children are the crown of old men. You know, they're locking up the children today, so they're not functioning in society, in our communities anymore. They're locked up in these public prisons, these public schools. And a lot of them are in prison. But public schools have become concentration camps. They're locking up the children from being in the community. And they're locking up the elderly. And they're separating the children from the grandfathers. But look what it says here. Children's children are the glory of old men. Somebody's hiding the glory of the grandparents. Putting the grandparents on drugs, keeping them out of the families, and putting them off in some institution somewhere where they're put on all these drugs and they can't even function with a rational mind anymore, locking them up somewhere. Is that what God wanted people to do? Is that how God wanted us to treat people? Who covered up the glory of old men? The devil. And what I'm saying is there's going to be restoration and revival. We have to dust off these glories and we have to shine them up and say, it's an honor. We want grandparents to enjoy their grandchildren. Now, I don't believe grandparents ought to come in and try to hinder grandchildren from serving the Lord. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying where grandparents are functioning the way they should and they're acting right and they're not trying to hinder the things of God, hey, grandchildren are their glory. Children's children are the crown of old men, but somebody wants to take the crown off. You know why some of these old people are depressed? The children have been taken away from them. They've been taken away, sent off to these schools. They never see them. It's just wrong. That's got to be fixed, folks. Hey, notice this. The glory of children are their fathers. Do you see what I see? What's the devil going to do through the feminists? What do feminists like to do? They like to hide glory, don't they? They hide the woman's glory. They're hiding the glory of old men. So the old devil, he's not going to stop. If the glory of children are their fathers, guess what the devil's going to hide in this generation? The fathers. What's this generation doing out here? Fathers are a shame. Fathers are ridiculous. Fathers are to be mocked and laughed at and ridiculed. Fathers are to be humiliated. Fathers, we don't even need them. Cut them off. Get them out of the house. Use the court system. Use whatever you can do to get the father and his influence out of the home. Somebody has cut off the glory. Somebody has covered up the glory of the children. You know, children ought to have fathers as their glory. Children need to look up to their fathers and be inspired by their fathers. And you ought to walk in such a way that your son and your daughter can look up to you and be inspired by you and talk about their daddy and see their dad. And this is what's going on in our world today. And God says, when your father has forsaken you, He'll take you up and give you other fathers. I tell you what, God is good and God takes care of us. God gives us mothers and God gives us a family. But we ought to rebuke this feminist movement today that loves to hide the glory. And the same diabolical movement that wants to hide the woman's glory, her long hair, wants to hide the glory of children. And we have problems today. We know that Elijah's coming back in the future tribulation period, and he's going to turn the children back to their what? Their fathers. What happened? How did the children get alienated from their fathers? Feminism did it. Hollywood did it. You ever read over there in the Old Testament about the glory departing? You ever read about Ichabod? In 1 Samuel chapter 4, she named the child Ichabod, saying the glory is what? Departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken and because of her father-in-law and her husband. Here you see the same balance. The ark should not be worshipped as an idol, but it was a sad day when the ark of God was departed from Israel. That ark represented the glory of God, and the glory of God had departed from Israel. Hey, I believe our glory's departed from our churches today. I believe the glory's departed from our families today. I believe the glory is departed from the women today. I believe the glory is departed from the children today. I believe the glory has been departed from the grandparents today. I believe the glory has departed from the young men today. And I say, if we're going to have revival, if we're going to please God, we got to go around and get the glory back.
Amen. That's right.
And the devil doesn't like it when you get the glory back. We're going to get the glory of femininity back. We're going to get the glory of children back. We're going to get the glory of grandparents back. We're going to start restoring the glory, and the devil hates it. And just let him go ahead and hate it. I didn't ask him about it anyway. He would say, well, you're going against everything today. I despise your culture. I despise your culture today. I despise the sewer that you've created. I despise your ways. And I want to get back to the old paths. The things that God has created and made and ordained for us to walk in. I want to get back to families and strong, godly young men that are not homosexual, effeminate, little weaklings. I want to get back to raising up godly young men. I want to get back to raising up godly females that are virtuous and gorgeous and godly in all the way that God wants them to be. And pure and right. But I tell you what, they're cutting off the glory today. And if you're going to have a revival, you better get the glory back. Children are taught to disrespect their fathers, taught to despise them, taught to treat them with contempt. Young women are taught that it's embarrassing to walk around with long hair and it's such a bore and a chore to walk around and be beautiful for the Lord. Mama's too lazy to cut her hair. I meant to take care of her hair. You got sisters and brothers. We ought to start taking care of hair. Amen? We ought to go back and say it's not a chore. You have to maintain some glory sometime. And that's the problem. People don't want to maintain these glories, see? It's easier to just put grandpa off in an institution somewhere. It's easier to just hack the hair off and not have to comb it every day. It's easier just to say, you know what, just put the boy in front of a TV and let him grow up a wimp, a little sissy, and who cares about it? Let's not get him out here and make him work and deal with him and have to discipline him and teach him how to finish things and accomplish things. Teach him how to say yes, sir, and respect authority. Teach him how not to talk back and have a smart mouth. I tell you what, it takes a little time to maintain glory, doesn't it? It's time to get the glory back. If not in the nation, at least in our churches. We might not be able to bring revival throughout the nation, but I tell you what, we can bring revival in our churches if we'll pray for it and aim for it and think about it and try to work for it. I want to bring long hair back on women and all that it represents. I want to bring back fathers and place them back in their rightful place as the glory of their children. I want to bring back grandchildren as the glory of old men. Seek them and love them and want what's best for them in the Lord and not cover up these glories in ungodly ways. You know, we need some grandfathers to not be ashamed of their glories. You know, some grandfathers walking around, they're trying to have their second childhood again. They're trying to be teenagers. Driving around their little sports cars and dressing in their tight clothes. And what happened, Grandpa? You're ashamed to be a grandpa, aren't you? The Bible said your grandchildren, they're not nothing you need to hide. Your grandchildren are your glory, buddy. They're your glory. But only the devil can come and convince a bunch of grandparents that it's a shame to be a grandparent. Only the devil can do that. Only the devil can come and within 80 years convince women that it's a shame to look like a woman. Only the devil can do that. Only the devil can take a bunch of corn-fed boys, strong boys, and in one generation convince them that walking around like a little effeminate sodomite weakling is somehow a glory. How is that a glory? How is that something that you aspire to be? The devil did that. The devil did it. I quoted it before that in 1920s, almost 1930, a famous dancer cut her hair off and shocked the world, and everybody was sad. And she wrote and said, "Don't you worry. When I start getting older, I'll get my hair back." But who could imagine an older woman with short hair? And everybody wrote and says, "Yeah, okay, as long as I just hate to see what you're going to look like when you get older with short hair." Folks, barely 70 years ago, that was the thinking of every single woman. If I do cut it, it'll just be for a little while. When I get older, I couldn't imagine having short hair when I get older. How did we reverse all of that? How did we reverse it where somebody says, "You're 40 already and you still have hair? Cut it off like all of us." See, they resent strength. They resent glory. And you've got to learn to stand up to this depraved, perverted generation. You young men got to learn. You say, "You don't walk around and look like a queer like I do?" No, I don't. "You don't like the things I do and you want to be a sissy like me?" No, I don't. I don't want to be a sissy like you. I'm not impressed by it. That's what you got to say, young man. You got to not be impressed by it. You women got to get to a place where you're not impressed by masculinity. Women that want to be men, you're not impressed by it. It's nothing that you want to aspire to. Sir? Okay, amen, brother. Yes, sir. Okay, in conclusion, there's no place for pride or idolatry in all these glories. But let's not go to the other extreme and hide these glories. You know, don't get so into your hair that you don't care about your insides. Do y'all understand? We've gone too far to the other extreme. So what we're doing in Kingdom Baptist Church, and hopefully in a lot of churches around America right now, is we're calling women back to beauty because they went too far the other way. We're calling you back to beauty. But see, you could get so into this thing that you don't care about being nice and courteous and gracious and lovely and all the inner qualities, and all you care about is outward beauty. And we don't want to go there, do we? But let's get some balance in this thing. Amen? Let's get our beauty back. Let's get our glory back. I don't want you boys to get so into your masculinity and your work and the strength that you have and the overcoming that you miss church. You're out here working and overcoming and making money and accomplishing things, and now you miss church. I don't want that. You can go too far with this stuff. I don't want you looking in the mirror and pumping weights and getting all vain into yourself. I want you to learn how to take care of your family and protect your family. I want you to learn all this stuff. But don't get so into it that you start primping in front of a mirror. Amen? Yep. Something's wrong. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your precious Bible. Thank you for the dear people. Kingdom Baptist Church, come from all many different backgrounds. But Lord, in one sense, we've all been a part of this depraved, perverse generation. Help us to raise a godly generation of young people. Lord, help this young generation that's growing up not to despise what they have. Let them understand the chance and opportunity that they've been given to actually be blessed and not have to experience the curses of the former generation. Let us spend the rest of our lives preserving this generation from the curses of the former generation, dear Lord. I do pray, may we all work together. May these children honor what they've been given here. May they not look at the rules as something that is against them, but may they look at these rules and commandments as protection that they might be happy, Lord. Let them not despise our rules, dear Father, of not having boyfriends and girlfriends and saving themselves for their spouse if you give them one, Lord. Help us do things the right way and wait on you and love you, Lord. I thank you for the precious people of Kingdom Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen.